D-Maze, Vingit, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingit live from Bridgestone Arena, where the Nashville Predators will host the Edmonton Oilers tonight. And joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider and co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast. And Elliot, as fate would have it, the Oilers are here for their first game without Connor McDavid. I know that the diagnosis of the ankle injury, 2 to 3 weeks, I know that the Oilers breathe a collective sigh of relief, but the Oilers are going to have to figure things out without their captain for the next couple of weeks. This is a team that has struggled to score. They've had their opportunities, but they haven't been able to cash in. So what are we going to learn about these Oilers over the next 2 to 3 weeks, starting tonight without Connor McDavid in Nashville?
Well, don't forget this happened to them last year too, Adam.
It did, yes.
They were missing him for a chunk. That was a problem that they had to deal with. The one thing that I think they have to sort out is they're just not fast right now. And this is a fast league. And it's fast is not only how you skate, but it's also how quickly you move the puck. Like McDavid obviously is one of the fastest skaters in the league. If you go through the NHL Edge stats, he's in the 92nd percentile, which actually seems low for him. But the rest of the team as a whole is below the 50% mark. So they're just not moving quickly, and they're not moving the puck quickly. So I think that starting tonight, what I'm very curious to see from them is, in a league where pace is so important, Adam, you know, how quickly can you get yourself to move without your fastest player?
And I spoke to Chris Knobloch after the morning skate and brought up that note that you had in your 32 thoughts, and he said exactly what you just said, that it's not just about skating speed, it's about moving the puck, as you said, and he agreed that he feels like the team has not done as well in that regard in terms of moving the puck as a team. In Toronto yesterday, we saw a trade, Timothy Liljegren traded to the Sharks for Matt Benning, a former member of the Nashville Predators, and two draft picks. And Elliot, I'll be honest, when I saw the alert, I was a bit surprised by the return. I know that Timothy Liljegren has a first-round pedigree, but he has not been in the Maple Leafs' plans this season. Correct me if I'm wrong, he's appeared in one game, or he did appear in one game for the Leafs this season under Craig Berube. We also saw Olli Maatta traded from Detroit to Utah for a third-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. Has the market now been set for depth, maybe third pair, possibly second pair defensemen with these two trades?
Yeah, probably. I think that now everybody will take a look at that as a target, Adam. But, I mean, one of the real challenges here is there just wasn't a lot of available. Like, Utah was in a desperate mode because they lost 2D. But there weren't a lot of teams. And also, the other thing, too, Adam, with this whole Liljegren thing, and Benning was affected, too, is that nobody wanted anyone with term. Mm-hmm. Like, the true stud defensemen, they almost never become available, right? So you're sitting there and you're like, okay, we can't get a difference maker. A lot of other teams don't want to make trades at this time of the year. They're still trying to figure out what they've got. A lot of teams look at it like injuries happen. We have to make sure we have enough depth for when that occurs. I just don't think there was a lot available. I actually think Detroit did a good job to get a third rounder for Maatta. And, you know, the thing with Benning and Liljegren, I don't think there was much of a market for either guy simply because they both have term. And I don't think a lot of teams wanted to add a defenseman who was under contract after this year, as both of those guys were. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Benning, if he stays here or they try to flip him. That one could go either way. But I think that Utah was desperate for a D, And Toronto, Liljegren had basically become, as you said, the ninth defenseman. And they also had a cap issue because they have an injured defenseman, Hakanpaa, who's coming back. They had to fit him in. So I think it just got to a point where they had to make the trade.
We'll talk with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thought Podcast. Now, Elliot, the Predators, obviously, they started off not too good, but then was able to pick up some wins. But one thing hadn't changed with this team. They've gotten off on low, very slow starts, but they've been managed. They've managed to come back in some games and take a game into overtime, and then ultimately get some points. Is that a situation that they can continue and expect to have the season that they want to have? And how are things like that correctable? Getting down early and have to fighting your way back to ultimately try to win a game or send a game into overtime.
Well, I think the one thing, Derek, is they have to start banking points. Like, if they were in a terrible division, it would be easier, but they're in a really good division. Like, all you got to do is look at the three teams at the top, and granted it's early, but they've all got a 75% points percentage. Like, you know, one of the good lines I really feel about hockey, Derek, is that you can't win the Stanley Cup in October, but you can lose it. And there is a stat I keep, and, you know, tomorrow's November 1st. In this league, because of the loser point, the one you get for losing in overtime and a shootout, if you fall behind in the NHL, it is statistically very difficult to catch up. Like, I keep a stat. I don't have it in front of me. I'll check it after the games tomorrow. But if you're 4 points out on November 1st, I think you make the playoffs less than 20% of the time. And so the bigger challenge now for teams like the Predators is that the Jets have banked points. The Stars are banking points. Even the Wild are banking points. Like, those two teams have four losses in regulation in 28 games. What they've done is they've set a fast pace atop the Central Division. And so now if you're Nashville and you're chasing with the likes of Utah and St. Louis and Colorado, you know that you're really going to be battling. You're really going to be battling now because of the pace that have been set up. So that's the one thing that's happened in front of you that you have to deal with. As for the start of games, sometimes it's just details. You got to start better. You got to start on time. Sometimes it's, you know, you break down and you get that save early. You get that save early. I mean, whether it's details and getting a break or getting a big save, you can't be chasing the game all the time. If you're chasing the game and you're chasing the season, that's a big problem.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. Elliot, with the baseball season wrapping up last night, I'll make a baseball reference. We know in baseball now the big talk is the days of the 300 hitter are all but gone. It's harder to hit 300. There's less of them, the styles and everything. The save percentage of the goalie, you have a note in your 32 Thoughts, 897 is the league average. I don't think I ever would have thought that, especially with the Predators coming into the league in 1998, you know, when it was a relatively lower scoring phase. I mean, the standard was, you know, 915, 920, that kind of thing. But 897, boy, I didn't think I would see this.
No, it's wild. It's really crazy to me. And I think the biggest thing is that I think for a long time, Willie, the goalies were ahead of the shooters. Goalies used to be normal sized humans. Now they're like they're monsters. Like, if you're like 6'1", they almost won't even look at you. Like, your guy Saros is the exception to the rule, in the NHL. So that's one thing that's happened, is that goalies got bigger. For a while, the equipment got bigger and they reined it in. That was a big change. They really went hard at equipment, and I thought that was very important. And the other thing was, I think that more and more kids now, they hire skills coaches at a younger age. And what that's done is every kid can shoot now. Like I was sitting with Peter Mrazek in Czech Republic this year, and I asked him about Connor Bedard's shot. They both play in Chicago. And he says, man, it's the NHL. Everybody can shoot it. And I think that's true. I think kids now, with all the skilled coaching they've done, like goalies used to play the percentages. They'd say, I'll give you this shot because nobody can make it. And it was true. Like they would give you the tiniest corner of the net because they had to give up something and nobody can put it there. Now, everybody can put it there. Everybody can shoot. Like all these places that you're not supposed to be scoring, they can all score to there. And I think between the equipment getting slimmer and the shooters getting better, I think the shooters have caught up and passed the goalies for the first time in a long time. I think it's good for the game. Fans want goals. Let's see goals.
Well, we'll see how that looks against a couple teams that can really score them, with Edmonton coming here tonight. And they have two matchups, the Predators do, with Edmonton in the next couple of weeks. They go out for the long road trip out to Western Canada here soon. They also, during that stretch, play Colorado twice. I know you have a note about their situation. So give me the thought on the Avs. They've done well to sort of dig out of an early hole, kind of like the Predators are trying to do now, but they lost another forward. I remember over the summer, Elliot, you were telling us about Ross Colton, who was playing well before he just got hurt. Depth is an issue for the Avalanche. So tell me the state of their affairs.
Well, you know, they had five of their top nine forwards are injured. One of them looks like he's coming back next week, Lehkonen, who scored the goal when they won the Stanley Cup a few years ago. They've really been beaten up, really beaten up. And, like, every day, like, you hear another announcement of a guy getting hurt. And last night, a defenseman, Oliver Shillington, had to play forward because they were just short. So they're looking for a forward right now. They basically, I think, the way they look at it is this is not going to continue. Eventually, our guys are going to get back healthy. You know, they do have one player, Valerie Nichushkin, who is in the NHL substance abuse mental health program, and he is eligible to be activated on November the 13th, although it might be a little later than that. He is eligible to be activated. And he's a big, important player for them. So we'll see. But I just think they're just trying to keep their heads above water. You know, they lost last night to Tampa. They fell behind early, and they gave it a run, but they just fell. You know, Tampa pulled away at the end. They're just shorthanded right now. They're going through an epic run of injuries. And eventually they will sort it out. They've got great elite talent, but they've got to get healthy. They're the most decimated team in the league right now.
What were your thoughts on how Tampa put on the show for Stamkos? It was a really good game, went right down to the wire. The only thing that didn't follow the script is everybody wanted it here. They wanted to see Stamkos in that overtime find a way to get it in there. He had the one good look there before Tampa Bay spoiled it. But a very good game. And I'm curious where Stamkos goes from here, because Adam and I have been doing a lot of numbers on Stamkos. I think he's on the verge of a breakout. If you take a look at the shots he's getting, the number of shots, the looks, it seems like it's just a matter of time, even though there has been an adjustment here.
Yeah, I think that, you know, sometimes that game can really help you. That, you know, you kind of say, okay, I finally had the first game. It's time to move on. I remember Vince Carter talking about that once, when he got traded from the Raptors to the Nets, like just coming back the first game back, he was so nervous. The first shot he threw up was like a total brick. Like it was just an awful shot and the crowd laughed and booed at him. And he said later that I think it was Jason Kidd who walked over to him and said, congratulations, you got your horrible shot out of the way. Now you can play. And he actually played, I think, really well, and they won. So I think you hope that this helps Stamkos get some bit of closure and move on. You know, there were a couple – first of all, I thought that it was really well done. You know, I think that I wondered if Stamkos was going to lose it there for a second. His eyes kind of watered a couple of times, but he held it pretty well. I thought the most interesting thing was the reaction of some of the Tampa players. Like, you could see, like, Kucherov. Kucherov has this reputation as being this dour, humorless guy. And the way he reacted really stuck with me. Like, you know, the ovation he gave, because he doesn't show that side of himself a lot. You know, Cooper was interesting because Cooper and Stamkos really battled. They really battled sometimes. Like, he was the captain, but, you know, Cooper pushed him. And you could see even Cooper, like, it was an emotional moment for him, too. I thought it was a really well-done night. I thought it was a great night.
Elliot, last one for you. The most fascinating team in the NHL to me right now, and it's for all the wrong reasons, is the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
They're off to a terrible start. Their number one goalie, Tristan Jarry, has been sent to the American League for conditioning, but he's had a rough start to his season. They're an old team. They're locked into Sidney Crosby and Erik Karlsson and Chris Letang, and I know that Geno Malkin has a couple of years left, but it really seems from afar that there is no easy out for the Pittsburgh Penguins to figure this out. What is going on in Pittsburgh, and how can they possibly dig themselves out of this?
You know, I think if you really want to dig yourself out of it, you probably have to make some really painful decisions. You know, I think the thing about that game against Minnesota, too, was it's a huge game for Fleury, and they get off to a great start, and they can't hold the momentum. They can't do anything to stop it. You know, Minnesota comes charging back and they win the game. Like, you think if you're up 2-0 at home, you're in a really good spot, and they just weren't. Their D-zone coverage has been really weak at them. I'm astonished at some of the breakdowns. And, you know, the one thing I watched, the end of the game was really incredible, was Fleury getting the big ovation from the Pittsburgh fans and the Minnesota players staying out and Crosby and Letang staying out. It was almost like saying goodbye, like the start of saying goodbye to the dynasty. Like, does that make any sense to you? It was almost like I was looking at it and I was like, is this the beginning of the end? Like, you know, like the core members, you know, you forget that the last 2 years, you know, Matt Murray was the starter, but Fleury was around, obviously. But like the biggest personalities from that team were Letang, Crosby, Malkin, and Fleury. And to me, it was almost like, okay, now we're saying goodbye to the first one of them. And I just wonder if it's sort of like the beginning of the goodbyes to this Penguins group. And, you know, Crosby obviously just re-signed, but I think the one thing is that the way they're playing, they're going to force a situation where the GM is going to have no choice but to say, guys, like, we got to do something new here.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider, co-host of the 32 podcast, joining us here as he does every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Elliot, thanks for chatting. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You as well. Elliot Friedman joining us here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. We'll react to that and preview the Predators game tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.